Now, we're going to look at this prayer. And we have now Jonah here. He is inside the fish. And I read again, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of Sheol, is the way it is in the New Scofield Reference Bible. That certainly is accurate, for that's the original word. But that word is translated in many places by the word grave. Other places, the unseen world, where the dead go. This is a word that any way you look at it, it has to do with death. This is a word that always goes to the cemetery. And you couldn't take this word anywhere else. And he says, out of the belly of Sheol, or out of the belly of the grave. Now, I don't know what your interpretation is, but my interpretation of what Jonah's saying is that the belly of the fish was his grave. And a grave is a place for the dead. You don't put a live man in a grave. And I think that he recognized he was going to die inside of that fish, and that God would hear him and raise him from the dead. Now, many years ago, I was still a student in seminary, and I was asked to supply my last year for a brief period of time. In fact, after I actually graduated, I stayed at the seminary till I finished my time at a little church. And the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Atlanta, Georgia, asked me if I would supply, because they had had a big problem in the church and the pastor left, and they figured a seminary student couldn't hurt them very much. Now, that church is the church that Peter Marshall became the pastor of. In fact, I preached there my last Sunday, and he preached the next Sunday, and he was kind enough to recommend me to that church as to be the pastor to follow him. But I wasn't about to follow a man like Peter Marshall, so I did not even consider the call to the church at all. But I was just a young student, and the Sunday evening service, I made it evangelistic. And I gave an invitation, and one night, several young people came forward. I was a young preacher at that time. And after the service, why, I'd talked to several of them, and then I went to the rear of the church, and a young fellow was standing there, and he told me, he says, I'm a student at Georgia Tech, and I would like to accept Christ. I said, well, why didn't you come forward? Well, he says, I've got a hurdle. I got a problem, and I can't get over it. We'd call it today a hang-up. Well, I said, what is it? He said, I just can't believe that a man could live 3 days and three nights inside of a fish. Well, I said, who told you that a man lived? Well, he says, I thought the Bible said so, and I know I've heard preachers say so, and I've got a professor at school. He just spends his time ridiculing that. And so I said to him, I said, well, my Bible doesn't say that he was alive. He said, you don't mean it. I said, I sure do. And I opened my Bible here to this second chapter and read it, as I'm going to go over it with you today. And I said to him to begin with, I said, this man, Jonah, makes it very clear that the belly of the fish was his grave. And a grave's a place for the dead. And the young man said to me, you mean then that he died? I said, yes. I think that's a teaching. He said, well, then it means then that God raised him from the dead. I said, right. That's exactly what happened. This book teaches the resurrection of Christ. Well, then he says, that's a greater miracle than the other. I said, it sure is. And I take the greater miracle than keeping a man alive inside of a fish, because that can be proved as having happened on several occasions, and I'll offer that proof next time. But the important thing to note here is that this man cried unto the Lord out of the fish's belly, and he said, out of the belly of hell cried I. Out of the belly of Sheol, out of the belly of the grave, cried out. And that's the place for the dead. And so Jonah felt like he was there to die and that that was his grave. And you must understand, he wrote this not while he's inside of the fish, but afterward. Now, may I say there's some of you today that are not going to accept this. I have several letters already on this. We'll not accept your viewpoint. Well, I'm very much alone in this. However, the late Dr. DeHaan took this viewpoint. I wrote a book on it many years ago, and I was by myself. And then when Dr. DeHaan came out, why, I found out that many folk at that time, because they had confidence in him, they accepted that viewpoint. Now, if you hold the other viewpoint, that he was alive, you go on with it. It's all right. God could keep him alive. That's not the question of the power of God. Question is, what did he really do? But don't hold that view to the extent that you rob a lot of young people from defending the Bible today. This young man went back to college and he told me that when the professor brought it up again, why, he said to the professor, who told you that Jonah was alive inside the fish? Well, he says, the Bible says so. And this young fellow said to him, says, not my Bible. And the man got the Bible out and they looked at it. And they said they had a lot of trouble of finding a Bible in Georgia Tech. But they finally found one, found out the man was really, actually dead inside of the fish. Now, I want first of all to share with you a letter that's come to me from Austin, Texas in this regard. And it reveals the viewpoint, of course, of the popular interpretation of it. And I'm reading now this letter. It says, thank you for responding to my letter concerning Jonah. It is a mark of your dedication that you take time to answer such letters, since I'm sure you get many. I believe you're doing a fine work for the Lord, and in listening to you over the years, I think you're not getting older, but getting better. Well, may I say to you, I'm getting older, and you're not kidding me, and I'm not getting better. Now let me continue. Your story about your fear of flying and how you conquered it brings meaning to a living faith. But as far as Jonah goes, you are, I believe, putting in a private interpretation. You're straining the word to make it say something it doesn't say. May I go on to say the fact that Jonah lived 3 days in the whale's belly doesn't do any damage to the reference in Matthew 12:39-40. Why don't you take your Bible and read it again? If we forget the chapter designation, it helps. Then he gives me, of course, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. He said he guessed that Jonah did a lot of soul searching during those 3 days. Now it says if you interpret this passage like you do, you must believe the writer didn't have enough sense to put the story down in the sequence it occurred. And then he goes on to tell about the story that I use as illustration. And then it says you state that it is assumed that Jonah was alive. Well, I don't believe it is, but if you want to say that, I think your assumption is the greater assumption, and I hope you realize you're only assuming. My question to you is why? Well, may I say I appreciate that letter, and I recognize that the general interpretation, the popular interpretation, is that Jonah was alive for 3 days and 3 nights inside of the fish, and that he had a very comfortable weekend inside of the fish tail instead of a motel. I don't think he could have been as comfortable as you'd be in a Howard Johnson or a Holiday Inn or a Ramada Inn or Royal Inn or any Hilton hotel. But at least he had 3 days and 3 nights in there alive. In fact, when I was a little boy in Sunday school, they gave me a card on which Jonah was inside of the fish, and he had a table there, and he was sitting at the table. I don't know where that came from, but that was the way it was pictured, and that always, as a little fella, disturbed me, because I had trouble with that, and I must confess I did. Now, if you hold the viewpoint that this man holds, that Jonah was alive, you are with the majority today. And you are also with the majority of the expositors of the book of Jonah. And you can feel comfortable in being with the majority. Now, of course, if you want to be right, you would want to go along with me, I'm sure. But anyway, I want to make this point very carefully. It's not a question now of whether God was able to keep him alive or not inside of the fish. From my viewpoint, God could keep him alive. The question is, did God keep him alive? Is the miracle one of keeping him alive, or was the miracle in raising him from the dead? And since this book illustrates resurrection, I'm of the opinion God raised him from the dead. Now, it's not a question of the power of God. If I get to heaven and find out that Jonah was alive, and after I've had a little talk with him, some of you friends come around and say, "I told you so," I will have to confess that I was wrong. And I'm not, as this man seems to think, that I'm taking an assumption and making a dogmatic statement. I'm not. But I am saying this, that I've had the privilege of teaching the book of Jonah on quite a few college campuses. Right here in Southern California, I taught it on the campus of USC, on the campus of UCLA. And I've had the privilege of teaching it, not directly on the campus, but to the Berkeley students at Cal in Berkeley. And I have found that this gives ammunition to young people today, and it gives them something to hold to. Now, if you belong to the old school and you want to hold to this, don't get enraged and become absolutely irritated with this viewpoint. You must recognize that this has been very helpful to a great many students today. And it has been the means, as we saw in the case of that Georgia Tech student years ago, it was the means of bringing him to a saving knowledge of Christ. And I personally believe this. I hold to this. Now, it's not a question of whether a man can live in a fish. Now, I want to give you today some illustrations of the fact that men have been swallowed by fish, whales, and they've lived to tell the story. And there's some remarkable stories. So that leads me to say this to you, that if you believe that Jonah was alive inside of the fish, that's not too great a miracle, because of the fact other men have had that experience, and I want to give you those. Many years ago here in Pasadena, when I first came here, there was a very excellent Bible teacher by the name of Miss Grace W. Kellogg. And she gave me her little book, The Bible Today, because she also held the old viewpoint that Jonah was alive inside of the fish. And she wanted me to see that Jonah could have been alive. And, of course, my point is, of course he could have been. If that's what God means, then I've really just misunderstood him and have rather misunderstood Jonah, and I'd certainly be willing to correct myself. But I'd like to give you a quotation now from Miss Grace Kellogg's book, that it is possible for a man to be swallowed by a fish and live, and there are many examples of it. I'm going to give you a few of those that she gave. And I'm quoting now. "There are at least two known monsters of the deep who could easily have swallowed Jonah. They are the Balaenoptera musculus, or sulfur bottom whale, and the Rhinodon typicus, or whale shark. Neither of these monsters of the deep have any teeth. They feed in an interesting way by opening their enormous mouths submerging their lower jaw and rushing through the water at terrific speed. After straining out the water, they swallow whatever is left. A sulfur bottom whale, 100 feet long, was captured off Cape Cod in 1933. His mouth was 10 or 12 feet wide, so big he could easily have swallowed a horse. These whales have 4 to 6 compartments in their stomachs, in any one of which a colony of men could find free lodging. They might even have a choice of rooms, for in the head of this whale is a wonderful air storage chamber, an enlargement of the nasal sinus, often measuring 7 feet high, 7 feet wide by 14 feet long. If he has an unwelcome guest on board who gives him a headache, the whale swims to the nearest land and gets rid of the offender as he did Jonah. Now, here is another example that Miss Kellogg gives. The Cleveland Plain Dealer recently quoted an article by Dr. Ransom Harvey, who said that a dog was lost overboard from a ship. It was found in the head of a whale 6 days later, alive and barking. And here's another. Frank Bullen, FRGS, who wrote The Cruise of the Cathalot, tells of a shark 15 feet in length, which was found in the stomach of a whale. He says that when dying, the whale ejects the contents of its stomach. And here's another. The late Dr. Dixon stated that in a museum at Beirut, there is the head of a whale shark big enough to swallow the largest man that history records. He also tells of a white shark of the Mediterranean which swallowed a whole horse. Another swallowed a reindeer minus only its horns. In still another, Mediterranean white shark was found a whole sea cow about the size of an ox. These facts show that Jonah could have been swallowed by either a whale or a shark. But has any other man beside Jonah been swallowed and lived to tell the tale? We know of 2 such instances. Now listen to this. The famous French scientist, Monsieur de Parville, writes of James Bartley, who in the region of the Falkland Islands near South America was supposed to have been drowned at sea. 2 days after his disappearance, the sailors made a catch of a whale. When it was cut up, much to their surprise, they found their missing friend alive but unconscious inside the whale. He revived and has been enjoying the best of health ever since his adventure. Now, here's the other, Dr. Harry Rimmer, and I knew Dr. Rimmer well. President of the Research Science Bureau of Los Angeles writes of another case. In the Literary Digest, we noticed an account of an English sailor who was swallowed by a gigantic rhinodon in the English Channel. Briefly, the account stated that in the attempt to harpoon one of these monstrous sharks, this sailor fell overboard, and before he could be picked up again, the shark turned and engulfed him. 48 hours after the accident occurred, the fish was sighted and slain. When the shark was opened by the sailors, they were amazed to find the man unconscious but alive. He was rushed to the hospital, where he was found to be suffering from shock alone, and a few hours later was discharged as being physically fit. The account concluded by saying that the man was on exhibit in a London museum at a shilling admittance fee, being advertised as the Jonah of the 20th century. In 1926, Dr. Rimmer met this man and writes that his physical appearance was odd. His body was devoid of hair, and patches of yellowish-brown color covered his entire skin. If 2 men could exist for 2 days and nights inside of marine monsters, could not a prophet of God, under his direct care and protection, stand the experience a day and a night longer? So why should we doubt God's word? Now, may I say that that demonstrates the fact that a man could live. But the thing that it does, it takes away from the unusual character of Jonah's experience. That is, if these men lived and Jonah lived, then you have several instances, and there may be others, and I'm told that there are other records of men who've lived have been swallowed by fish, so that what you have is a record not really of a great miracle. You have a record of an unusual instance, an incident that took place. Now, I personally believe that the greater miracle is the fact that God raised him from the dead.